All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Let us begin. We have a lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Today's daf is Samech Tes. We're picking up on Samech Ches Amud Beis 68b. We actually left off at the Gemara, but let's just pick up at the Mishnah again, read it through quickly. Our shir this morning, our week of learning, is dedicated by Binyamin and Nechama Grossman in honor of Ira Grossman's 70th birthday. And Mazel Tov to Ira, and they have Esm Shalom Tovos. And also our shir is dedicated this morning by Akiva and Leo Wexelbaum, in honor of our children, Yael and Shlomo Kanner, in a loving memory of our Oma Chana Bas Rab Naftali, in the occasion of her 20th yard site, the Neshama Shtav and Aliyah, and the family in Nechama. And I will say, with that, let us begin. Says the Mishnah, Hazava Hazava. So we read this already yesterday. Quick Chazara. Hazava Hazava Shabbat Ko Asav Yom Yishon. Umatsu Tarsh. So let's remember again, this is Zav and Zavas. Remember now, at this point in time, we are talking about... We are talking about Shiva Nikiyim, seven clean days. Shabbos says, so what you have over here in this following case is a Zav and the Zava, who did a Bedika on day number one, did a Bedika on day number seven. Both Bedikos were good. Only problem is, they did not do any Bedikos in between. So of course, the Shaila is, what is their status? Ushayam Shemein Sain Labatku. Suppose they threw him in Machlokis. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Harein Becheskes Tara. Rabbi Eliezer says, it's good. The bookend Bedikos tell us that not only is one and seven okay, but everything in between is okay as well. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Imahem Ela Yom Rishon Bilbad. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, all they have is day number one. I'm sorry, Ela Yom Rishon, Yom Shvi Bilbad. Rabbi Yeshua says, all you have are the days you did the actual Bedikos on, i.e. days one and seven. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Imahem Ela Yom Zayin Bilbad. Rabbi Akiva says, all you have actually is day number seven. So I will say, so if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, oh yeah, why Rabbi Akiva say only have day number seven? So Rashi says, Shema ro'u bein sayim v'sasu sirasan arishona. Because you also remember again, the concern over here is that maybe they saw a discharge between days one and seven, and if that's the case, even the bedika of day one is simply meaningless. So I will say, it's a three-way machlokes about what happens if a Zav does a bedika, does bedikos on days one and day seven of his or her Shivanikiyim. First opinion saying, Rabbi Eliezer saying, bookend Bedikos work to certify the entire Shivanikiyim. Second opinion was Rabbi Yoshua, that you have only days one and seven, but the rest of the days cannot count towards Shivanikiyim. And last opinion, Rabbi Akiva, all you have is day number seven. Says the Yemar Tanya, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Yoshua, the Dvarech, remember, so Rabbi Eliezer says that once you do a Bedikos on days one and day seven, all 7 days are good. Rabbi Yoshua says that if you do Bedikos on day one and day seven, what do you have? You have day one and day seven, but not the days in between. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Yoshua, the Dvarech, according to your logic, Atamona Beserigin. According to your logic, ultimately, again, you're counting days out of order. Vatora Amra Achar Titar. Achar lekulon shelote tuma mafsekes benen. So we'll say, so let's just Rabbi Shlomo, I don't understand. What do you mean that if she does a bedika or he does a bedika on days one and day seven, that in Rabbi Yeshua's models, day one and day seven count, which means she needs another 5 days. The problem is you're counting Yimei Tara out of order. And the Torah says that halacha lemaisa Yimei Tara must be free of any interrupting tuma in between. So what's going on over here? Amar Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua says, back to Eliezer, but 1 second, that's not true. There are cases of where the Shiva Nikim are interrupted, yet they're still valid. Va'ato, iatamode bezov, shera'a keri. Ubenazir shahilech, sichachos upros, shemona beserigin. What about a Zav who has a keri emission, right? A Zav who ultimately has a seminal emission. So we'll say, what's the halacha with the Zav has a seminal emission? He loses that day, right? He loses that day of the Shiva Nikim, but Lamaisa, the count remains uninterrupted. So we'll say, so let's say again, he's counting a Shiva Nikim, he has a seminal emission on Tuesday. Tuesday is not counted towards the Shiva Nikim, but he can resume the count on Wednesday. Similarly, Nazir, Shehilech Sichachos Upros. So we'll say, if we look at Rashi just in a moment. Nazir Shehilech Sichacho Supros, Shane Suffolk Oel. This is talking about a case of a Nazir. Sichacho Supros, Sichacho Supros are cases of tree branches which hang down and form a potential Ohel. Paraos, ultimately, again, are protrusions from a building. So in these cases over here, the common denominator, says Rashi, is Shehin Suffolk Ohel. Both say these are cases of Suffolk Ohel. Right? Now, the concern over here is there was the possibility that there was a kezayis of a mace underneath one of these protrusions, and the Nazir walked through as well. Now, there was a kezayis mace. The shayla is if these things constitute an Ohel or not. So, what's the halacha? In osa yom ola leminya nezirusa, v'nimtza shemona lamed yom shal stam nezirus b'serikin. So we'll say if a Nazir were to walk under one of these questionable Ohel situations, what would be the halacha? The halacha would be that that day would not count towards his neder nezirus, but it would also not what? It would also not go ahead and negate all of the previous days observed. So the point that Rabbi Yeshua is making to Rabbi Eliezer is that you find cases of interrupted counts, yet there are still continued halacha, there are still considered halacha lemaisa to be continuous. So in other words, you understand what's happening over here? Rabbi Eliezer, who says that if she does a bedika, the Zava does a bedika on day 1 and day 7, all 7 are good. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, not all 7 are good, only 1 in 7 are good. And Rabbi Yeshua, I don't understand, what does it mean 1 in 7 are good? That means you're counting Shivanakim, you're counting in an interrupted fashion. And the halacha is that Shivanakim can't be interrupted by any tumah. To which Rabbi Yeshua says, that's not true. There are cases of interruptions that are not really called interruptions. For example, if a Zav is observing Shivanakim and has a Keri Re'iyah, right, has a seminal emission, so what happens? That day is not counted. That day is not counted. But Lamaisa, the count continues. Another is observing his 30 days of his Neder Nezirus, and he walks underneath a questionable Ohel. So I'll say, what's the halacha? That day doesn't count towards his Neder Nezirus, but it also doesn't take away the previous days. So you see from here the ability in cases of doubt to essentially remove days from the count without interrupting the flow of the rest of the count. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, Bishlama Hasam. There are those who will say to Yeshua, I don't like your examples. Your examples aren't good examples. I'll tell you why. In the case of Keri, the Pasuk says, Latama Ba'am Rachmana. Sheno says, so we'll say in the case of a Zav who has a Keri emission, it's different because there the Torah tells us, Latama Ba, that when you have a Keri emission, it is Metame that day. So that tells you that day is problematic, but Lamaisa, the count still goes on. V'imishum, the Gemara says, Eliyoma, v'imishum michlufei zav b'bal keri, lo michlif. Furthermore, again, people will not confuse the halachos of a zav and a bal keri. Furthermore, nazir shehilech al gabi sicho supros, nami, mid'orais ohel ma'al yabo'inon v'rabbanon hu digazer. V'rabbanon mid'orais ohel michlif. And Rabbi Elaz will say, listen, in the case of the nazir, Rabbi will say, the only case of tuma by a nazir that destroys the Nazirite period is what? Is Tumah Daraisa, which would be an Ohel Daraisa. Everyone knows that these cases are Ohel Dirabanan. And therefore, one will not come to confuse a Dirabanan case with a Daraisa case. Aval Hacha, but in this case over here, so we'll say, so remember again, what Rabbi is saying to Rabbi Yeshua, let me get this right. You're saying in the case which you did Bedikos on days 1 and day 7, you're going to count day 1 and day 7. Why are right towards your Shivanakim? Why aren't you counting 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6? Why not? Because you're choshesh that maybe there was a safek that there was a re'iyah. So if that's the case of Al-Hocha, Ichai Shinan Dilma Chazoi B'Safek, Asi L'Chilufei B'Vadai. If that's the case that you have a safek re'iyah on days 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, people will easily confuse this with the case of a real re'iyah. And what's going to end up happening? People will assume that in a case where a Zav is observing Shivanakim, even if he or she has a real Re'iyah, then what? All they lose is what? All they lose is what? Is that day, but the rest of the count can go on. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Yeshua, choose a side. Right? Take a stand. Take a stand. Either decide that the days are good or the days are not good. But this notion of accepting day 1 and day 7 and not the middle days is going to lead to mass confusion about what to do with Shivanakim. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Amri, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon both say, Nivrim Div Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Div Rabbi Yeshua. Let's listen to this. We think Rabbi Eliezer makes more sense than Rabbi Yoshua. In other words, that if you're going to accept any of the days, then what? Then what? Accept them all. And don't start accepting days 1 and day 7. The David Rabbi Akiva Mikulam. And the truth is, Rabbi Akiva, actually logically, makes the most sense. Makes the most sense. Right? What does Rabbi Akiva say? All you have is what? Is the last day. Right? Because if there's suffix, all you have is the last day. But yet, Aval Halacha Krabi Eliezer. But the Halacha was Rabbi Eliezer, that you get all 7 days. We'll say such a fascinating discussion, right? Rabbi Eliezer makes more sense than Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Akiva makes more sense than all of them, but the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer, right? Name the Rabbi, say that what? That halacha lemaisa, if she does bedikos on days 1 and day 7, she gets all shivin akira. So we'll say, so what does that mean, by the way? Here the Gemara just said, Rabbi Akiva makes more sense than Rabbi Eliezer, yet Rabbi Eliezer goes, yet the halacha of Eliezer, so what do you see from here? You see the power of Mesorah. And in truth is, and the real fundamental power of Yiddishkeit, that Rabbi says so much of what we have and so much of what we are is based on an unbroken transmission. And not lav dafka things that appeal to our intellect or that would make sense to us as individuals. What keeps us as a people and what keeps us as a system is a fidelity and allegiance that is bigger than the sensitivities or the logic of any one individual. That's the godless of this. And the moment that we start going ahead and trying to understand Judaism, Torah mitzvos, through the lens of our own personal logic or sensitivities or isms, is the moment ultimately, again, that everything begins to unravel. An incredible, incredible yisod. Fine. And we'll say, by the way, you should know this has ramifications. We'll say, where does this machlokes have ramifications? By Hilchos Nida. We'll say, we know again, what's the minimum number of bedikos that a woman could do over the course of Shiva Nikiyim? And still have a valid Shiva Nikiyim. What's that halacha? Days 1 and day 7. So you see, we adopt this position of Rabbi Eliezer, that as long as a woman is doing bedikos, and we'll say, the halacha allows this all the time, if a woman has a son, whatever type of issue, this often comes up postpartum, right? The woman is going to the mikvah for the first time after giving birth. And again, the area is still sensitive, or maybe even she's still experiencing some level of bleeding. We try to be as makel as possible with the bedikos, and the most makel construct for bedikos is one bedika on day 1, one bedika on day 7, and that gives her Shiva Nikiyim. Incredible. Now, you thought it couldn't get any more exciting, but it does. Watch this. So Zav and Zava now, who are checking themselves on day 1 and day 8. So we'll say, what just happened over here? Look at Rashi. That's Rashi in the Daf. Yom Shmini. Kvar avru yimei asfira v'lo hayu sofan betara delo barka b'yom zayin. Fascinating. So we'll see, in this case over here, they did the bedika on day 1 of Shiva Nikiyim. Not on day 7. Instead, when was the next time they did a bedika? On day number 8. So I'll say, Ushari Yamim Lo Batku. And the rest of the days they never did a bedika. Top of Samech Tes. The Rabbi Eliezer Mahu. What's the halacha according to Rabbi Eliezer? Suppose remember, Rabbi Eliezer holds that what? What did he hold in the Mishnah? Rabbi Eliezer? Day 1, day 7 gives you all the days. Okay, what about day 1 and day 8? Also, now remember again, day 8 is outside of the prescribed time. So what does that mean? So do we say, so on one hand, maybe Rabbi Eliezer will say, listen, I'm good with bookends, but you have to have bookends. You have to have bedik in the beginning, you have to have bedik in the end. Here, you have a bedik in the beginning, right? Day 1, but you do not have a bedik in the end. Or perhaps Rabbi Eliezer will say, no, as long as you have a bedika at the beginning, even if you don't have a bedika at the end, right? Lemaisa, again, or as well say at the end, meaning at the end of the 7 days, you do have a bedika on day number 8, maybe that's going to be good enough as well. Amarav hihi. Rav says, the truth is, Rabbi Eliezer would hold that this case is okay as well. Tchilasan afapi shein sofan, right? Ultimately, again, even in a case where there's a bedika on day 1, and not a bedika on day 7, but a bedika on day 8, Rabbi Eliezer would still hold that lamaisa she has a cheskas tara. Rabbi Chinina Abar, tchilasan v'sofan ba'ina. Rabbi Chinina says, no, in order to go ahead and have, in order to be able to say that there's a chazaka on those days, there must be bedika on day 1 and bedika on day 7. Hacha, tchilasan ikan, sofa leka. And of course, the problem over here is where she did the bedikos on day 1 and day 8. You have the first bedika, but you lack the second bedika. So we'll say, it's a fundamental machlokes in the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Would Rabbi Eliezer hold that tchilasan afa pi shein sofan, that it would still be good or not? So may say, the Gemara raises the kasha. Okay, may say v'shavin b'zav u'b'zava shabat ko atzman yom rishon v'yom shmini u'matzu tar she'in lahem ela shmini bilvad. So let's listen to this braisa. So the braisa over here says, and they agree. We'll see who the they is. They agree that if the zav and the zava only did a bedika on day 1 and day 8. Now the good news is both of the bedikos came out tar, but everyone agrees that what all they have is day 8. That's all. So we'll say, so therefore, again, essentially, the Shiva Nikim will effectively begin as of when? As of day number 8. So man Shavin, when we say they, who's the they who agree with this? Lav Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua. Is it not the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua? Because we'll remember again, Rabbi Yoshua was the one who said, in the case of where he did book and bedikos, you get the 2 days, right? Just the 2 days. Rabbi Eliezer said you get all of the days in between the bookends. So are we not talking about Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua? Lo, Rabbi Yoshua of Rabbi Akiva. No, actually, it's not Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Bepashtos would actually hold, even in that case, that Lamaisa what? All Shivan Akim would still be good. Rather, who's the Shavin? The Shavin is Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva. Amarav Sheshus, Amarav Yirmiya Bar Abba, Amarav. Next case, Rabbi Osei. So Rabbi Osei, so again, it appears that what the Gemara is saying is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, even if she just did Bedikos, right, or he did the Bedikos, because this is not Nida, this is Zav and Zava, right? Ultimately, again, even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that Rabbi Eliezer would hold in this case as well that the bookend logic works and she would still have all Shiva Nakiyim. Pretty amazing. So the Gemara says as follows. Listen to this. Literal translation is as follows. If a Nida, woman who is a Nida, did a hefsik tara on the 3rd day in which she is bleeding, ultimately, again, that day counts towards her Shiva Nikiyim. So we'll say, Sigmar says, what is happening over here? Nida Sfira Lamala. We'll say, remember, again, from the Gemara's perspective, there is no Shiva Nikiyim by a Nida. Right? Shiva Nikiyim is a concept by who? Is a concept by Zava. So the Gemara says, why would Anida be observing Shiva Nikiyim? Ela Ema, rather the Gemara says, here's the case. Zava Shefrisha Betara, Bishlishi Shela. But listen to this case. If a Zava did a Hefsek Tara on the 3rd day. So we'll say, so again, we're assuming what's happened over here. So let's assume this is the case for just a moment. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, woman has a discharge, right? 3 discharges, 3 days, she now becomes a Zava Gidola. Right, so we'll say, so now what happens? Zava Gidola requires Shiva Nikiyim. It sounds like what's happening over here is as follows. Now, but remember again, just a lot of the things we do by Hilchos Nida today come from Zava. For a Zava to begin Shiva Nikiyim, what does she have to do? She requires a Hefsek Tara. She requires an internal examination to show that her Zivus flow has stopped. Right? Once she does that Hefsek Tara, then she can begin Shiva Nikiyim. It sounds like over here what the Gemara is saying is that on the 3rd day, meaning her 3rd discharge, she could do her hefsek tara on day number 3, which is fine, but that day number 3 also counts towards her Shiva Nikiyim. To which the Gemara says, Ela ima zava shefisha betara b'shlishi shela, so far to the minyan zayin Nikiyim. Amrali Rav Sheshes, l'Rav Yirmiya bar Abba, Rav kikusaya amr l'shmaiti, does Rav suddenly hold like the kusim, right? He's espousing halacha like the kusim, because what did the kusim say? The amri yom sheposekes bo so far to the minyan zayin. But say apparently the kusim held that the day in which she does a hefsek tara can count towards the shiva nikiyim. But bepashtas that is not the halacha, right? Bepashtas Rabbi say again, the day that you do the hefsek tara cannot or does not count towards shiva nikiyim. To which the Gemara says ki kamarav lebar mishlishi. No. When Rav was saying is, he doesn't literally mean, he means that she's doing the hefsek tara on day number 3, but that day number 3 itself doesn't actually count towards the Shiva Nikiyim. To which the Gemara says, bar mishlishi pshita. So okay, that's obvious. I mean, what's the chiddush over here? The 3rd day, the day in which she becomes a Zava Gidola, she can do a hefsek tara, and that day doesn't count towards Shiva Nikiyim. What's the chiddush? Lo tzricha kigon de la batka ad shvi. Both say, what's the case? The case over here is where she didn't do a bedika until day number 7. Vashmo inon hasam tchilasan afa pi she'in sofan. And beforehand, we learned that what Rabbi will say, if she has a batika at the beginning of the Shiva Nikiyim, even if she doesn't have at the end, the Shiva Nikiyim are still good. Vahacha kamash malon sofan afa pi she'in tchilasan. And here the Bryce is teaching me that what? Even if she only has a batika at the end of the Shiva Nikiyim, and not at the beginning of the Shiva Nikiyim, ultimately, again, the Shiva Nikiyim are still good. Well, say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Rashi says, V'hacha ashminun sofan alfa bishen tchilasan, demishun bedikas zayin, mechaskinon kol shisha lefan of betara, hori lupaska b'shlishi, umi hafrasha betara ba'inon demishun uchsak maya pasuach leka lachzik utara. So listen to this. So the Gemara is suggesting, we'll say, here is the incredible novelty. The incredible novelty is as follows. That in this, we learned before, that at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the halacha is, if a zava does a bedik on day one, but doesn't do one on day seven, right, she's doing one on day eight or day later. That halacha lamaisa, that works. Right, that's called tchilasan afa pisha in sofan. The chiddush that the Gemara is espousing now over here is that what? If you have sofan afa pisha in tchilasan, it works as well. So, for example, if a zava were to only do a badika on day number seven, and that badika would come out clean, that the halacha would be what? The halacha would be that counts as Shiva Nikiyim. Now Rashi adds in a very important caveat, which is what the case over here. That only works if what? If she did a hefsek tara. Right? So if on day number three, she did a hefsek tara, that hefsek tara shows that what? Shows that what? She is emission free. Once she is, it's like by cars, right? Right. Zero emissions, right? She's at zero emissions, Baruch Hashem. Right? So I'll say, so the Maisa again, If there are no emissions, right? If the hefsek tara is clean, so that shows that's the chazaka that she is that she's not bleeding, right? That there's nothing, she's not emitting anything. So that's enough for her to begin the Shiva Nikiyim. And even though she doesn't have a bedika at the end of the Shiva Nikiyim, the bedika at the end of she doesn't have a bedika at the beginning of the Shiva Nikiyim, the bedika at the end of the Shiva Nikiyim simply certifies that which she found by the hefsek tara, i.e. that she is not bleeding. So the novelty of Yerabosei is that a badika at the end of the Shiva Nikiyim will certify the Shiva Nikiyim, even though what? There was no badika at the beginning of the Shiva Nikiyim, and all she had was a hefsek tara. To which the Gemara says, why don't you both cases? So Rabbosei, all right, so now what the Gemara is saying over here is, I had to teach you both halachas. Halacha number one, that tchilasan afa bishein sofan, a badika at the beginning of the Shiva Nikiyim, even though you don't have one at the end of the Shiva Nikiyim, certifies the Shiva Nikiyim. And then the second halacha is that a badika at the end of the Shiva Nikiyim, even without a badika at the beginning of the Shiva Nikiyim, is good as well. Why do I need both cases? Tema'u de tema, I'll say first wide line, samech tasam adalef, tema'u de tema, tchilasan afa bishein sofan, hu da'aminan du kimna achaz kayu. So you say, I'm going to throw as follows. I'm going to thought, I understand the case of where she does a badika at the beginning of the Shiva Nikiyim and doesn't do it at the end of the Shiva Nikiyim. Why? Why does that case work, Rabbi Hussein? Because when you have a badika at the Shiva Nikiyim, what does that do? What does that do? That establishes a chazaka that she's not bleeding. So okay, as much as ideally I should go and solidify that chazaka at the end of the Shiva Nikiyim, Rabbi Hussein, the beauty of chazaka is that what? What does chazaka do? It creates a presumed state until you have concrete information to the contrary. So if she does the badika at the beginning of the Shiva Nikiyim, I understand why that certifies her status, even if there's no badika at the end of the Shiva Nikiyim. Aval sofan, afa pi shein tchilasan lo. But I'm going to have to do a badika at the end of the Shiva Nikiyim with no badika at the beginning of the Shiva Nikiyim, that logic doesn't apply. Kamash lo, that even in that case it works. I will say, but why does it work? Because it's not totally true. Even though she doesn't have a badika at the beginning of the Shiva Nikiyim, she does have a chazaka. Right? We'll say, how is her chazaka established? Through what? Through what? Through the hefsek tara. Remember again, you did have a hefsek tara in this case. So the mice again, although it's not the ideal chazaka, it is a chazaka nevertheless, and therefore again works. So of course, halacha lemaisa, just as important to put this out there, we obviously our Shiva Nikiyim today come from Zava. We do not accept this premise, right? If a woman doesn't do a badika on the first day of Shiva Nikim. Shiva Nikim do not get off the ground, right? You need a bedik on day number one, and you must have a bedik on day number seven. The bookends are absolute necessities. Anything in between, there's room, right? If she forgets it or she can't do it, there's room to negotiate on that. But like I said, days one and day seven, those bookend bedikos are indispensable necessities, ultimately, in contemporary Hilchos Nida for women Shiva Nikim. See, any is this true? Vahaki Asar Rabin Amar, Vahaki Asar Rabin Amar, Master Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. So we'll say, we're going to go back now. We'll say, if remember again, we had this case. Remember we had this case where a woman leaves town and she's pregnant. She comes back and she's not pregnant. She miscarried. I will say this was the wild case where she doesn't know what happened, right? In other words, she knows that she miscarried, but she doesn't know when she miscarried. She doesn't know, was it a zachar, was it an akiva during days of zivos? Also remember, we had this case, and that's where you have all of these, like up to 80 different immersions that she's doing in order to go ahead and deal with all these possibilities. So we'll say, the Gemara is bringing this up as a contradiction to the case. We're gonna run through this a little bit quickly. So the Gemara says as follows: Ini v'haki asur rabin amar master rabbi Yosef ben Chanina toa. We'll say toa is the case of a woman who comes back and she's not sure what happened to her. She's not sure. In other words, we know she was pregnant. We know then that she left. She's not pregnant anymore. She miscarried, right? She didn't. One thing we know, she did not give birth to, unfortunately, a viable child. So lemaisa again, she miscarried. We don't know what happened. V'lo yedana mait tiyufte. And I don't remember what the problem was. The kaimalon shavua kama de asila kama. So we'll say, because we said, what about this one? When she comes back into town and she's in front of us, the first week, de asila kama, beleilusa mitpalinale, b'yimamalo mitpalinale. We tell her to go to the mikvah every night of that first week. So we'll say again, the Gemara is going to go through all the different possibilities. But by day, she doesn't go to the mikvah. Now here's what's amazing. Essentially, what the previous sugya has taught us is that as long as you have a bedika, this sounds like the conclusion of the previous Gemara. As long as you had a bedika, at some point in time in the beginning or at the end of the Shiva Nikim, your Shiva Nikim are locked in. Right, that's good. So I'll say that's called the Gemara. That's what the Gemara calls it. You don't require Sipurin Lefanenu. Sipurin Lefanenu means clearly defined, counted days. Right, observable days. Lav dafka that a woman has to count it in front of us. So she doesn't have to count her days in front of Bezin or things like that. But Sipurin Lefanenu means Yemei Tara that are clear and understandable and stand on their own. If a woman does not need Sipurin Lefanenu, let her go to the mikvah each and every day as well. Dilma, because we're all saying maybe there's a possibility that what? Yoledes Zachar Bezovhi. Because maybe she gave birth to a boy, to a male child, and it was Yoledes Bezov. Va'avda la Sipurin. And ultimately, again, maybe she did in fact observe the requisite days. Elav Shmamina Ba'ina Sipurin Befanenu. Well, so what do you see from here? You see from here that in order to go ahead and allow her to go to the mikvah, we have to be able to show that she has counted clearly defined days. Do we not set this up like Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva holds, Rabbi says she does require, again, remember, Sipurin Lefanenu means clearly defined and objectively observable counted days. You do not require a Sipurin Lefanenu. Disnan. Again, we'll say same case. Roman comes back. She's not sure what happened, but she says, "I know that I saw blood on one day." Yom echad tami ra'isi. So we'll say, "What's the halacha?" Makbalinon osa test tevilos. We tell her to go to the mikvah nine times. Zayin l'nida, seven times to take care of a number of variations regarding nida. Utre l'ziva, and two times to take care of any variations for nida. If she comes back and she says, "I saw once, and it was Bena Shmashas," so we'll say, "What's the halacha?" Matpalina and also Yudalef Tvilos. We tell her to go to the mikvah 11 times. So 11, Yudalef Maya Vidatayu. Because we'll say again, it's a case of Ben Ashmashos. Therefore, we have a Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Therefore, we tell it to go to the mikvah 8 times for Nida purposes, 3 times for Ziva purposes. Lora Isi Kalikar. We'll say, watch this. What happens if a woman comes back and she says, "I never saw any blood"? I never saw any blood. What's the halacha? Matbalinan ose tesvav tvilos. So you make her go to the mikvah 15 times. To which the Gemara says, something that just happened over here. If one comes back and she says, I saw dam, right? I saw dam for one day. So we'll say, so either we're making her go to the mikvah 9 times or 11 times. If she comes back and she says, I never saw blood, we say, what? 15 times. To which the Gemara says, Amarava, haidina delodina. This is an example of a halacha that's not a halacha. Or is a halacha that makes no sense? Well, so listen to this. This sounds like the halachas, right? Dayani begalchi. We'll say this sounds like the type of halacha that the judges in the city of Galchi would adjudicate. So listen to this case in Galchi. This was a city. Galchi was a city. And here's an example of just the illogical legal system in the city of Galchi. Listen to this. The Islay Tura Liri Chayon. We'll say here was the halacha. If you owned livestock, if you owned cattle, right, or oxen in the city. So it sounds like there was like a certain element of like, I don't know, like socialism that was involved over here. So if you went ahead and you owned an ox in the city of Galchi, you were responsible for taking care of all of the city's oxen for one day. Right? So it was like a collective. So you were obligated to take care of all the city's oxen. Right? The less they tura, if you did not own oxen, lire treyome, you were obligated to graze the city's flock 2 days. I don't know, 2 days a week, 2 days in a month, whatever it was. So what's this? You hear the logic over here? So if you had an ox, you were obligated to take care of the collective's oxen for, we'll call it once a week. Right? You had no oxen, twice a week. So the Gemara tells a story. Isrami le yasmu bar armalta. So I'll say one time there was a yasm, the son of a widow, who did not have oxen. He himself did not have oxen. Yoyev le ture. And they gave him the city's oxen to watch for 2 days. He was very unhappy about this. So what did he do? Azel nachsinu. He went and he shechted all of the oxen. Okay? So the city elder said, Amar lehu de'isle tura lishkochad mashcha. Whoever owned an ox, you could come and take one hide. De'lesle tura lishkotre mashchi. And whoever didn't have an ox could take two hides. So Amri lay my high. So the city's people said to the Dayanim, "What are you talking about?" So the Gemara says, "My high, the comrade Amri lehu sof dina kitchilas dina." So the judges of Galchi said, "It's simple, right? The end halacha just mirrors the first one. Tchilas dina lav man delesli adif." We'll say, just like in the beginning, the halacha was whoever didn't have an ox had greater responsibility, had a greater stake in the oxen. Because then we're going to both say, what was the halacha, right, in Galchi, right? If you did not have oxen, you grazed the flock twice, right? So just like those who didn't have oxen had a greater stake in the flock. At the end, right, so now in dividing up the hides, those who do not have a stake in the flock get more as well. Okay, so we'll say, so the idea, so again, remember, the Gemara just bringing this over here as an example. Rav is saying, when a woman says, I never saw any dam, and now you're going to tell that she has 15 tvilas, that sounds like this came out of Galchi. I guess this is like the Talmudic equivalent of Chelm. Right, so you know, like it sounds like it came out of Galchi. What kind of craziness is this? To which the Gemara says, Hachan nami, umahecha damara isi sagale betisha tvilos. So if when she said that I saw blood, it's enough if she goes to the mikvah 9 times. Ibiud aleph tvilos. Hecha de ka'amra ihi lora isi baya chamesha sre tvilos. Now in a kisa, she said, I never saw any dam. You're going to make her go to the mikvah 15 times. It doesn't make any sense. Ela imaaki. Rather, here's what you have to say. What's the case? Ra'isi ve'eni odea kama ra'isi. Rather, she's saying is, I saw dam. But what? I don't know how much dam I saw, right? Or I don't know how many days I saw. Or furthermore, ibi me nidara isi, ibi me zivara isi. So we'll say in this case over here, she's not saying I didn't see. She's saying I saw, but I don't know what I saw. I don't remember how many days I bled. I don't remember which days I bled. What time of the month? Was it days of Zivos, days of Nivos? Days of Zivos, days of Nidos. So what's the halacha? Matbalina nosa tesov tilos. We'll say in that case over here where she's really not sure, we make her go to the mikvah. We tell her to go to the mikvah 15 times. That takes care of all possible variations. Ase kaman biyamama, if she came before us by day, yahavina la, we tell her to go to the mikvah, shev lenida, 7 times ultimately again for her nidas, amadezev osai, vitinni leziva, 8 times for zivos. Ase kaman balelusa, if she comes before us at night, yahavina la tamni lenida, vishev leziva. We tell her to go to the mikvah ultimately 8 times for nida, 7 times for ziva. Ziva tamni baya. So I'll say, but one second, but for zivulos, you're going to tell me then just she really should require it tvilos. Ella idi v'idi shev l'nida v'tamni zivulos. Gemara says, you're right, rather in both of these cases, it'll be seven immersions for nida, eight for zivos. Beleilusa tamni l'nida boy. But similarly, she comes before us at night, there should be required eight tvilos for nida, to which the Gemara says, Ziva de psikale, de lo shna ki asya kama biyamama, lo shna ki asya kama balayla chashivla. We'll say, you know, in the cases of Zivos, where ultimately, again, it really makes little difference if she came before us by day or by night. That doesn't impact the number of tvilos that the Gemara discusses. Nida de lo psikale, de chi asya kama balaylusa, Nida de lo psikale, but I will say by Nida, which is not necessarily a defined halacha, because again, it depends when she's coming before us. Dichi asya kaman balelusa by timni. If she comes before us at night, she requires a tevilos, be yamama lo ka by timni, but yet by day, she will not require a tevilos, lo ka chashivle. Ultimately, again, that case is not reckoned in the list over here. So we'll say to come full circle. Visa si purim lefanedo ba inan. So we'll say, and if you hold that in general, that for a woman to be able to go to the mikvah, she requires defined days that were counted in front of us. Most of you understand, counted in front of us doesn't literally mean that she counted days in front of us. What it means is, there's a clear number of counted days that occurred in the context of a normative counting. So, kohani tilos lamali. Then why are you even dealing with this whole case? Very simple. If a woman shows up, Rabbi say, and here's what we know. What do we know? We know that when she left, she was pregnant. We know now that she came back, she's not pregnant. We know, therefore, again, she miscarried, but we have no idea what happened. If you require Sipurim Lefanenu, which means that in order for a woman ultimately, again, to have Shiva Nikiyim, right, ultimately, again, has to be an organized count that occurs, quote-unquote, in front of us. When a woman shows up and she has no idea what happened, there's a very simple resolution. What's the simple resolution? Tispor Zayin Vahadir Titbal. Say, listen, lady, I'm sorry, we have no idea what happened to you. Right? So therefore, very simple. Shiva Nikiyim starting now, and go to the mikvah afterwards. Why are you dealing with all of these cases? And Rabbi Osai, Rabbi Osai, what must you see? You see from here that Allah Lamaisa, this reflects the view of the Rabbanon, who did not require what we call Sipurin Lefanenu. Look at Rashi. Elav Shmamina Rabbanani, De Pligi Aled Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Damar Loba, Inin Sipurin Lefanenu, Ki Rabbanan Sfirli. So we'll say, you see from here, that ultimately this reflects the view of the Rabbanan, that ultimately we do not require Sipurin Lefanenu, and therefore Allah Chalamaisa, we have to negotiate, we have to navigate all these different possibilities. Amar Rav Acha Brei Rav Yosef, Amar Le Rav Acha Brei Rav Yosef Ravashi. Love terutze kamatartson le taritzve imach. I don't like your answer. Rather, why don't you give the following answer? So we'll say, what's the case over here? She says, I know that I counted, but I don't remember ultimately, again, how many days I counted. Look at Rashi. Safarti, badakti kitzas nikiyim okulon. I know that I observed some of the shiva nikiyim, or maybe even all of them. Ve'eni yodas kama, but I don't remember how many. Oh, shemenekiim shara'isi lav achar yimei hazov hayu el achar yimei nidos. So she says like this, I know I counted some days, but I don't remember how many days I counted. I'm also not sure, did I count shemenekiim after zivos, or did I count shemenekiim after nidos? I'm just not exactly sure what it is that occurred. Vimbi mei ziva safarti. So we'll say, imi mei nidos safarti, mei ziva safarti. What's the halacha? Mat balinu nosa tesav tvilos. The Rebbe said we tell it to go to the mikvah 15 times. 15 covers all the different variations and possibilities. So the Gemara says, but if she says, I counted, but I don't know how much I counted. Chad yoma miha. So ultimately, again, one thing we know, which is for sure, we're assuming the day that she's coming before us is not a day that she counted. If that's the case, ultimately, again, that there'll be one tefillah that's missing. Ela ima In the Odas, im sefarti, im lo sefarti. Rather says the Gemara, interpret the case instead as saying where she says, I'm not sure if I counted or not. If I'm not sure if I counted or not, that halacha lemaisa would ultimately again require these multiple tefillos. So, bottom line, to condense all of this into one line, is you see that ultimately there's a fundamental machlokes as to whether or not what we call, we need what's called sipurin lifaninu. In order for a woman to have shivin akim, do we require ultimately again that those be clearly observable, countable days that occur, quote unquote, in front of us, or not? If you hold that you require sipurin lifaninu, then when a woman shows up in front of Beis Din and essentially says, I have no idea what happened. No idea what happened. We say, listen, we're not going to even try to speculate. Instead, what are we going to do? Start Shiva Nekiyim as of now. Observe 7 clean days. Go to the mikveh at the end of those 7 days. And that's the end of the story. If, on the other hand, you say that you do not require Sipurim Lefanenu, then Abba said that's when you would have to try to navigate every single possibility that may have occurred to her over the course of her absence from in front of the Beis Din, and that's how you end up with these cases of 8 tevilos, 11 tevilos, 15 tevilos. Good. Says the Mishnah. Azav, azav, ani day, ala des amatzora, shemes. What's this fascinating case? If you have a zav or a zava, anida or yoledes, or a mitzora, right? It's a party, right? All of these individuals, shemesu. They both say, now they died. Not all they died. It's only one example, right? A person died, who's one of these categories. Mitamin b'masa. They convey tumas masa. They both say, tumas masa means what? When you carry something. So, if you carry, now remember, that's carrying even without contact. So let's say, for example, you're carrying the zav or a zav or the nidi or ledes mitzora on a mattress. So I'm not touching the person. That's called tumas masa. Until when? Achimah kabasar. And the corpse conveys tumas masa up until again the body decomposes. Yimu kabasar decomposes. So the Gemara says, Ovid kochavim nabosei. We're going to see, Rashi already points out over here, that we're going to see what's the chiddush of here. In other words, any mace conveys tumas masa, right? So we'll see exactly what the Gemara with the Mishnah say. Ovid kochavim shemes. We'll say, actually very interesting. If a non-Jew dies, if a non-Jew, right, Ovid kochavim dies, tahar milatame. Ultimately, we'll say the corpse of an akum does not convey tumas mace. Fascinating. Look at Rashi just a moment. Ovid kochavim shemes. Afagav de mechayim. Even though when a zav is alive, remember again, when an akum is alive, an akum has the status of a zav. Has the status of a zav. Lutami be'evin misamim mishemes tarmi lutami be'evin misamim kin defarshi gemara hovu tuma ziva shal mechayim in lamed divrei sora. Listen to this. An akum, think about this just a moment. An akum, when he's alive, is he subject to the laws of tumantara? No. Right? Tumatara is halach and Torah. So technically speaking, an akum when he's alive is tar. Chazal conferred a status of zivus upon an akum. Now they did that ultimately end to create a distance between Jews and Gentiles. So, but when he dies, he has no tumas. As well say, I tell you, buddy, this is, you know, this is like a big thing. This is a couple of years ago. Maybe they still have it now. The science museum downtown, the mummies. So there were a number of frantic calling shilas about this. Also, I just want to point out, the Mishnah here makes it sound simple that an akum doesn't convey tumas meis. It's actually machlokes in halacha. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch rules that Kohanim should be machmir even with a non-Jewish meis. That's why, again, Kohanim avoid mummies, right? Whether you know they're Jewish or not Jewish, better to avoid. Right? Better. It's good. That's free advice, by the way. You can take that. You could use it. So I said, we'll see in the Gemara a little bit more about this. Beishamai says, "Kalanoshim mesos nivos." What's an incredible halacha? Beishamai says, all women when they die, listen to this. All women when they die are considered to have the status of a nida. We'll see what that means. Beisila omrim ain nida elisha mesa nida. Beisila says, no, the omen is a nida. Is a woman who dies in a state of nidos. If she doesn't die in a state of nidos, we don't assume that she is in a state of nidos. So we'll say, here we go, Gemara, let's do one line. My b'masa. So we'll say, what does it mean when you open up the Mishnah and you say, Zav, Zavan, Ide, Yoledes, Mitzora, that died, they're metami tumas masa. Every base is metami tumas masa. Ilema b'masa, mamish. If you want to say it's mamish tumas masa, atu komeis milo metami b'masa. And every other corpse is not metami masa. We'll say, every corpse is metami masa. What's the chiddush of here? Rather watch this. Elamayim b'masa be'evin misama. We had this last week. Avin Masama something as well. So listen to this. Generally, Tumas Masa says like this: If you have a mace, let's say on top of a let's keep it simple, on top of let's say a mattress, a cot, and there's something tar underneath that mattress, that cot. What's talach rabosai? That item underneath the mattress is tame. Why? That's called Tumas Masa, right? Because it's underneath something supporting the mace. Now that Tumas Masa of a mace only applies to something which can technically be lifted with the mace on it. Evan Masama means a very, very, very large stone that cannot be lifted. The technical halacha is as follows, that if you have a mace on top of a very large stone, and there is a tahar item underneath that stone, that tahar item does not become tamei tumas masa. Evan Masama does not convey tumas masa because it cannot be moved. So the Gemara Dichsiv, this he quotes over here the pasuk from Daniel. Ve'hisayis even chada v'sumas al pum guba. So also listen to this. So this is by Daniel when Daniel was put into the pit, right, the lion pit. So what they did is, so Daryavish, they put a stone on top of the pit, so no one could escape from the pit of the lions. So we'll say, now watch this. What now the Mishnah is teaching something different. Although normally the halach is that what? If a mace is on top of an Evan Masama, a stone that cannot be moved, so that there's no Tumas Masa. So which means we'll say anything underneath that stone does not become Tameh. The exception to that rule is Zav Zava Nide Yoledes Mitzora. That if their corpses are on top of an Evan Masama, ultimately again it does convey Tumas Masa. What's the reason for this? Amrav, my time, Amrav, Gzeira, Shemi Yis Alpha. We'll say, listen to this. We'll say, this is interesting halacha. If a Zav, however, is on top of an Evan Masama, we'll say, then what's the halacha? The halacha is a Zav does convey Tuma to that which is underneath the rock. We'll say, that's if the Zav is alive, right? If the Zav is alive and he sits on top of an Evan Masama, he sits on top of a large rock, even that which is, that's Tumas Medrus, right? Even that which is underneath the rock, ultimately, again, is going to become Tamei as well. What were Chazal concerned about? Chazal were concerned that if we say that the corpse of a Zav on an Evan Masama does not convey Tumas Masa, people will mistakenly think that what? That what? That even when the Zav is alive, it doesn't convey Tuma to that which is underneath the rock. And that is false. Therefore, in terms of, as a gzera, they said that even when a Zav who has died is on top of the rock, it conveys Tumas Masa to that which is underneath the rock. It'll be a rabbinic Tuma, but Tuma nevertheless. It's a gzera, lest you come to confuse a dead Zav with a living Zav. Tanu Mishnah Rabbi Elazar says, Ad Shei Bake Kresi, I'll say that ultimately again, until what point in time does the Zav corpse convey Tuma? We'll say it literally means until his stomach opens up. They'll say, so what it probably means is not literally until his stomach opens up, but Lamaisa. Actually, I skipped the line, I think. Amrav Gzir Shemi Yis Alpha. Rav says it's a Gzira that the Zav may faint. If he faints on top of the rock, remember, a Zav who faints is laying on top of the Evan Masama. There's something tar underneath the rock. What's the halacha, Rabosai? What's the halacha? The item underneath is Tameh. There's a concern that people will come to confuse a fainted Zav with a Zav who has passed away, right? And say that it's, so therefore we'll say, in order to avoid any kind of confusion, essentially, whenever the Zav is on top of an Evan Masama, whether he's alive or whether he has passed away, halacha lemaise conveys tuma ultimately to that which is underneath it. Even though normally there is no tumas masa by an Evan Masama, here ultimately again there will be tuma. Until what point in time does the Zav convey tuma? Rabbi Lezer Omer Achi Baka Kreso, literally until his stomach opens up. Which I will say Rashi points out actually means something a little bit different. It probably means up until the stomach cavity sinks in. You know, after a certain point in time when the internal organs begin to decompose, Shalomai said then the stomach cavity sinks in. At that point in time, the corpse of the Zav no longer conveys tuma through Evan Masama. I will say just a reminder, tomorrow is going to be a regular schedule, even though again it's January 1st, the holiday. We're going to have a regular schedule, which means Mesiyas Hasharim 5:45, Daf Yomi 5:55, Shachris at 6:45. So a lot for anyone who's going to see him as Shas, Emir Tashem, to be able to be at the buses on time.